Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Good morning, video games. Welcome once again to another installment of Filthy Casuals, a podcast about video games, hosted by three very kind and extremely knowledgeable boys. Thank you very much for joining us. My name is Tommy Dasilo, and with me, as always,
Ben Vernell.
And
what, are you trying to hide? why so slow and quiet? My name's Adam Knox.
My favourites are the ones when your name stumps you.
Yeah.
Because I start looking at like the new stuff.
Yeah.
That I'm going to read out. Yeah. Because I'm like, well, I'll definitely not have to think about this next part.
Mm-hmm.
And then my brain stops because I'm doing another thing at the same time.
Classic man, can't multitask.
Yeah. I'm very bad at multitasking.
Mm.
I can't really do it.
I'm pretty bad at it.
I'm great at it.
Really?
Yeah.
Do two things at once right now.
Mm. All right. I can sit and I can talk.
Mm. Oh, that's one thing. Sitting, if anything, is minus one task.
I can do two things
while you're sitting.
All right, I'm sitting, I'm talking, and I'm looking forward to when you guys leave. Is that count?
That's three. This is like juggling a chainsaw.
Mm-hmm. I'm digesting
juggling
my
one
dinner.
Chainsaw.
Well, you're juggling and you have a chainsaw. That's two things.
It's weird how that wouldn't impress people much, but it's still pretty dangerous to throw one chainsaw in the air and catch it.
Yeah. The idea that it's the number of chainsaws in the mix. I've got to be honest, if I saw a person just juggling one chainsaw and then they got up to five, I don't think I'd be any more impressed than I was when it was just one.
I think I'd be more scared if they were juggling one chainsaw because they're clearly a beginner.
Mm-hmm.
If they've only got one, that means this is one of the first times they've tried this.
Right, so if it's five, it's like, well, they've got this. They wouldn't try this if they weren't completely confident.
If they've gotten past four, they're not going to get chopped at five. If they've been able to keep everything on them.
But one is like the training wheels are still on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Kids are more dangerous on the roads than adults.
I wonder how many of our listeners can juggle. Do you ever think about that?
No, but now I am.
What percentage do you think?
Well, a lot of people can sort
I'm going to say 99% of our listeners, absolutely.
A lot of people can sort of juggle as well.
I can juggle.
Can you still juggle? Can you currently juggle or have you juggled for like 4 minutes once in high school?
I reckon I could juggle for about 30 seconds now.
Really?
Yeah.
How many?
Three balls.
Is that... Oh, you said that like that's... I'm an idiot for asking that.
Well, two is too few.
Yeah.
Four, that's an advanced.
Three is standard juggle.
Yeah.
Three. So we're accepting that three is the universal default standard for juggling?
Everyone accepts that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Watch any cartoon juggler, they will always draw three balls. Whatever a cartoon character does is the standard version of that thing.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Coffee comes in that one type of cup and it's black coffee and steaming. That is the only type of coffee.
Yep.
Anvils are common.
Yep. Pepperoni, the only type of pizza.
Yeah.
Pepperoni. Red circles on it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That's pizza. Cake is like... I guess cheesecake normally?
With
cartoons?
Pink icing and one slice cut out of it.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Donuts are never the whole type. Mm-hmm. They're the one with the hole.
Yes.
What else do cartoons do?
All turtles and ninja.
Marge Simpson fucks Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
That's the standard version.
All right. I'd love to see you juggle someday, Ben.
All right.
We've got live shows coming up.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
On the 13th of July in Melbourne. They're on sale already.
Yes, they are.
That one at the Cooper's Inn. Where do you go for the link? Just to our socials and it'll be there?
It's on our website now. So just go to filthycasuals.com.au. There's a post there, live show,
Cool. Funny picture of us. Book tickets now.
And then the Sydney one, we're doing a Sydney one on Sunday the 21st of July.
At this point, we're just meeting in a park.
It's still, like, we're definitely going to be there on that day and we'll do a show. But
I've certainly booked flights and accommodation, so.
I mean, but you'll be comfortable with this, Ben. At this point, there are still some balls in the air.
Yes, yes,
so
absolutely.
So we'll lock it down later. But that'll happen on the 21st of July.
So in many ways, Ben's skill with juggling is actually a detriment to the show at this point. Because the balls are in the air and it's only because of him.
That's
if
true.
If he weren't so good at juggling, the balls wouldn't be in the air anymore.
They would have dropped
to the
floor.
We'd have this just locked in.
Yeah. Yeah, fuck you, Ben.
You carny. You freak.
Are there still carnies?
Yeah.
Do people travel with...
There's still carnivals.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like they're different now. They're cleaned up. You know what I mean? They're all like...
What evidence do you have to support this?
So you think the carnival is just running itself?
No, I think people like from the town and they're well-meaning now and stuff. There's not as much grifting going on now. Mm. It's like raising money for some charity.
That's the attitude of someone who's about to get grifted.
No, I'm always on the lookout for a grift and disappointed when someone isn't trying to grift me.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if I've ever been grifted.
How much did you pay for that haircut?
I actually paid... An insane amount for this. Actually,
do you want to compare? Because I just got a haircut yesterday, and I was appalled at the amount of money they charged.
Really?
People.
Oh, really? I'm on the lookout for a hairdresser.
This is literally the biggest time in the year for video games this week. Anyway, so do you want to say our numbers at the same time? And Ben, like a juggler, can decipher them both at once with his multitasking.
I got this one in London, so I'm trying to remember how much it cost me.
£25.
That's about $50.
Something like that. I think it was like £20.
All right.
$65.
Yeah, that's insane.
That's fucking ridiculous. But they told me at the end, so I had nothing to do. I can't go like, oh no, put it back.
That's a grift.
Yeah. So I guess I got grifted. Yeah.
No, but that's on you for not asking when you go in. You got to check because haircuts vary so wildly in price. Mm.
Yeah, but that's the equivalent of like if someone brings out a steak, you know, you order a steak and they bring it out and it's like fucking 8 grams. Mm. You can't say, well, that's on you for not checking that it wasn't insanely small.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that is so beyond the pale that even if I had have asked, I wouldn't have believed them and I'd have gotten the haircut anyway.
Well, one of, if not the only benefit of going bald is that haircuts all of a sudden become quite simple.
Yeah.
If you make the decision to just go the clippers, which I have. Mm-hmm. I was in London and I went to go and get a haircut. I walked into a place and I said, oh, just the clippers all over, just like a number one. Mm. And I sit down and I then realise that I'm in an African barbershop, which I sort of thought, well, I can't see, you know, this won't matter. Mm. I then sit through, I endure one of the most brutal haircuts of my entire life.
Really?
This cunt literally doing an impression of someone who's never held clippers before in his life. Like having to keep taking the top of it off and like shake the hair out of it. He's doing this technique that makes me realise... This is the thinnest hair he's ever cut in his life because he's got this motion where he's got the clipper and he's sort of doing that, you know, he's like
if you pick up a milk bottle that you think is full but it's actually empty and you go, whoa.
Yeah, like, he's kind of, he's using the clippers in a way where he's like got a lot of motion in his hand as if he's cutting through a thick afro.
Right.
Put it that way, as if he's having to really cut his way through. But I, you know, my hair wasn't that long to begin. So he's just like bashing me in the side of the head with this thing. He keeps changing the length of the clip. Like he keeps taking the attachment off and like reattaching a new one.
Fuck.
He switches clippers a bunch of times because it's just not working. He then leaves. He goes right around the edge and he leaves the top. And he's like, this will do, won't it? And I'm like... At this point, I've already decided I'm going to have to just go somewhere else and get them to fix this up.
Yeah.
So I'm like, yeah. I walk out of there looking absolutely fucking ridiculous. Oh, also, halfway through, he kept spraying something on the clippers. Mm. And I sort of thought, oh, this must... I wonder what this... You know, I don't really know what this is.
Yeah.
And then halfway through, I realize it's a can of olive oil that he's just lubing up this razor with.
Wow.
It was
there was a bunch of people in the back like with a big spit and they were like, I'm going to eat this guy.
yeah.
See, cartoons are real. If someone's putting olive oil on you, that means they intend to eat you.
Yes.
Right. I felt like I was in a cartoon. What's the Bugs Bunny one where he's like him and Elmer Fudd are the barbers?
Mr. Bean the Barber.
That's the one.
I believe
yeah.
that's the one.
Yeah. So then I had to walk into another, I had to walk find another hairdresser, like just another barber shop, mm-hmm. and go in. And
that
just
one on the front, it said Sweeney Todd. You were like, this will be fine. No problems here.
I go into this place and they're like, I'm like, can I talk them through the story and they're like, oh, we're just about to close. And I'm like, I'm begging. Mm. I'm like, look at me. I need you to help me. And yeah. the guy's like, okay. But had resigned myself to the fact of I'm just going to have to pay for a second one. And the guy very graciously was like, it's fine. Don't worry about
wow.
that.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
That's the end of this regular segment. Tommy has a slightly unusual day.
That's, I mean, that is pretty, yeah, I wish I'd gotten a photo of how awful it looked. Mm. It was unbelievable.
Fuck.
And then the second guy, as he's cutting it, he's like, wow, that guy really did a number on you.
Yeah, right. Mm. You want to, I remember the old saying where you want to get the haircut from the guy with the worst hair because he's better at cutting. Because the other guy cut his hair. Remember that like lateral thinking thing?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
one of the barbers is dead with water underneath him.
Yes.
And his and name turned is out it was Marie Antoinette.
It was his mum. Yeah. Yeah. The barber was his mum. Uh-huh. Yeah. Well, neither of you have helped me because I still need a haircut.
Oh, right. Old Greek man near where I used to live in Carlton.
Okay.
He'll do it for cheap and he won't talk to you the whole time, which is perfect.
Oh, very nice. My two favorite things.
So it's been a big week in the lead up to E3.
Yeah, I reckon you should just delete everything that I just said.
Well, we're putting the episode straight up, so we can't.
Look, I just want to issue a formal apology for that one.
For talking about a haircut that you no longer have.
Yeah, yeah, technically that's true. You really only have that haircut for like maybe an hour?
Yeah.
What rate does hair grow at?
I guess you only technically have a haircut for the second that you leave.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's a fresh new bit of hair. Mm,
that's a beautiful saying.
As they bring the mirror around, they're like, how's that? You're like, good, but you know, now I'm over it.
So yeah, E3 is obviously next week. Mm-hmm. It starts on Monday Australia time, Sunday US time.
Mm-hmm. Right around the damn corner.
Oh yes.
All kinds of shit has been coming out before it though, largely because of Sony not being there. Well, actually no, the Death Stranding thing we talked about last week, that's really the only big Sony thing, specific Sony thing that's come out. People are just putting up trailers and shit before it, making announcements about games that are, you know, mostly stuff we've already known about and clearing up details on them and stuff like that.
What do you think, Sony? Do you reckon in the next 2-3 weeks they do something?
It's really hard to tell. They're being weirdly cagey almost. Like they'll just drop a big fucking trailer. Like Death Stranding would have been, you know, 15 minutes of that press conference.
Yeah,
if they were doing one. But I guess it was fucking 20 minutes of it last year, so it makes sense. But
yeah, it would be a cool move if they did one the week after, when the dust has settled on everything else. After E3, if they just went, anyway, here's more stuff on Last of Us.
Yeah.
Or maybe you just wait until like September or something now. You just go like, no, we're actually sitting this out. Are we going to be completely on our own over here? Because I doubt that Microsoft at this point is going to announce a new Xbox. Maybe they will, but
you don't think so?
It's probably a way off still, because I feel like there would have been a little bit of hubbub about it.
Yes. Now. I think I'm in the same boat. It's like someone would have said something to give some kind of indication, but at this point it's like, well, there's nothing.
And so there's pretty specific stuff leaking out of like some people who tend to be pretty accurate about Microsoft Xbox kind of stuff in particular. One of the big things that indicates it isn't is that the next Halo game, Halo Infinite, will be there with a demo and it'll be not on the next thing. They'll say like, this is coming to the next generation or something like that, but they'll be playing it on a PC just using an Xbox controller.
Right.
A bunch of new Microsoft properties will be announced, like they bought all those studios last year, so that stuff will start to pop up. But yeah, a lot of games seemingly to come out of Microsoft. I remember that Sony one of like 4 years ago, or whatever it was now, when they just went game.
Yeah.
People were like, ah, fuck, Sony's doing all right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That might be the sort of tone that Microsoft has
right
this time.
You think so this late into the life of, or you think they just announced those games and sort of say these are next gen games, but without showing the hardware.
Yeah, I reckon right. That's probably what's going to happen. Is they'll say, because they just put Game Pass on the PC,
right?
And they'll say our commitment is to putting our games in as many different places as possible. You can play them on the Xbox One, yeah, on the PC, and on the next generation of Xbox.
I think you're right. Their whole angle is you can play us wherever you want.
Yeah.
So here's some things to play, which is the thing they've been missing.
Totally.
Oh yeah, there was news during the week that Cuphead is going to be playable on the Tesla.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Incredible. Cool. Incredible.
It's the new Skyrim.
Yeah.
You can play it on your fridge. Yeah. You can play it everywhere.
Yeah. Oh, man. Love Tesla. Love Elon Musk. He's so funny. Epic Elon Musk moments compilation is my favorite video to fall asleep to after I've listened to all my Joe Rogans.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so yeah, Microsoft stuff is all kind of not out there, but like the broad strokes of it, of like they have like 14 games or something,
right? So and that's Halo Infinite and Gears 5 is confirmed to be,
they'll both definitely be there.
Yeah.
There's a new thing from a big rumor is that they're making a new Fable game.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. A reboot or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bunch of new stuff from those companies who they bought up.
Forza.
Yeah. Maybe not.
This year. Really?
They might have a year off from that. Apparently.
Ooh. I've seen a bunch of rumors about there being a new Banjo-Kazooie game.
Yeah.
Right.
And a remaster, I think.
I feel like that's one or something. That rumor has popped up every year though.
Right. Yes. Mm.
So
yes.
We'll see, but it should be game focused and hopefully some exciting stuff, because yeah, if it is just like fucking Halo and Gears of War and then a couple of smaller things that will also be everywhere else, then who cares?
It's the same thing they've done every year.
Yeah
I wonder how much, if at all, the what's the Google thing called again?
Stadia.
I wonder if that factors into anyone's announcements. Any kind of support for that?
It's called, you would have heard the original title of it after you got that haircut.
Mm-hmm.
It was called Look at the Stadia hair.
He heard the original title
when
he got that haircut.
Yeah.
I was feeling pretty bad about telling that story, but honestly, that's justified it.
Yeah,
I think
to set the wheels in motion for that call to come out.
Certainly means we can't edit it out now. I don't know. Yes, I honestly keep forgetting about Stadia. Like, it's not something that's on my radar.
The only thing that made me think of it then was the you saying the thing about our commitment to having our games everywhere to be able to be played anywhere, which is the kind of the big push of that.
Yeah.
So if that is their thing of what they're doing, then it would make sense for them to align themselves with that in some way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I guess.
Age of Empires 4 is a rumored thing that might be showing up.
Okay.
They're doing a big push with the first three, like putting them all on Steam. That's another big thing is Microsoft's putting all their games out on Steam now. Mm. Big for some people. I don't know. A lot of it is kind of just pushing in the same direction they've been going for a while now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so
which has been positive. It's all been totally good. For the past like year, it feels like we've been like, oh yeah, fucking Microsoft are having all the good ideas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're having all the good ideas, but then they're not really backing it up with much in the way of software.
Yeah.
So,
and maybe this is the year they do that.
Yeah, but again, we've said that, I feel like, the last 3 years. I feel like the Microsoft one is the most interesting one this year.
Yes.
And I felt that way the last few years.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm certainly, I'm the most interested. I'm the most hopeful. I want him to pull something out.
Yeah.
Same. I want Phil Spencer to get up there and I want him to pull something out.
Yes.
That's what I want.
Yeah, me too.
I want to be able to play anywhere.
Mm.
I want to juggle the balls.
Play on the bus.
Uh-huh. Play down behind the bike sheds.
Yep.
Play in the bike sheds.
Yeah, on the bike.
At the front of the bike sheds.
Yeah.
On the roof of the bike shed.
Mm.
Play underneath the bike shed
in the
basement.
Yeah, okay.
You ever been to a bike basement? Who cares? Anyway. The Microsoft stuff we'll see next week for sure. Like, I think it's probably not worth talking too much about a lot of the E3 stuff because it's so close and because it's so up in the air, or like either up in the air or super confirmed. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it is fun to speculate. I mean, this is the last chance we'll get to do it before.
I don't have much to speculate, though, at this point.
Yeah, that's true.
Because it really doesn't feel like anything crazy will happen. Like maybe, a new Splinter Cell game or like some, you know, things like that. But is that very exciting even, really?
Not specifically, no.
Yeah.
But something exciting? Yes.
I mean, I'd like to play a new Splinter Cell game. Like,
so you're excited about
it. But I'm not excited about it.
Well, you don't get excited about anything anymore.
But no, I can do that. The game I'm going to talk about later, the one I'm going to review, is fucking exciting.
Okay, cool.
Weird Al. I was trying to think of Leisure Suit Larry. Leisure Suit Larry, but like a clean version with Weird Al.
Okay,
that's cool.
Because of Al Lowe, Weird Al Lowe. Anyway.
No, there was a method behind the madness.
Just some stuff like that is not, you know, it feels like for the last few years as well, we've had so few new things. It's all been kind of reboots and whatever.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's hard to get excited about another franchise that's been gone for a while coming back because we've seen it happen so often that even if it is a different thing, is like a known quantity now.
Yeah.
Like it'll probably be good. And some of them are amazing. Like God of War coming back, such a good game.
Mm. Yeah.
But at the same time, it's not like, whoa, this is a new idea.
Well, and the things that it is hard to get people excited about something these days when there's not the like established clout of it being, you know, a franchise that people already have an attachment to.
Yeah.
And probably when it comes out in the future, like, yeah, you will, you know, it might be a bit of a slower uptake where people end up getting into it.
Mm.
But a lot of times those things get announced and people just kind of go, okay.
Yeah.
Whereas like, a long dormant franchise coming back has that moment of everyone going, fucking no way.
Yeah. Mm. Well, I mean, traditionally the sort of turn of a console generation is where that sort of stuff happens though, where a new thing will pop up because there's this new hardware and there's a new kind of set of things you could do with it that you couldn't do before.
Right.
And I guess that sort of happened a bit less this time compared to the last generation, like the 360-ish ones compared to this stuff.
Yeah.
So we didn't really see it happen that much. Like Destiny and stuff like that popped up with more online integration.
I think this is probably the generation of the thing that you spoke about, the really good sequel in a franchise.
Mm.
Like Breath of the Wild, Red Dead.
Last of Us 2 we'll probably see more of over the next couple of weeks out of Sony, I'd imagine. So, and that'll be cool. But, yeah, I don't know. It's whatever comes out of this three. And a lot of the talk, the E3, and a lot of the talk going around that I've seen from like people who have been to like the Judges Week, where they see a bunch of the stuff that is going to be maybe isn't announced yet.
Oh, right.
And is going to be there. And people who are leaking these things, it seems like it's going to be a bit of a flat year.
Right.
Just in the way of anything that might be big and crazy and exciting and new is with the next generation, which is still a year or whatever off.
Yeah, which is weird because I feel like we had the same feedback on last year's one.
Yeah.
I remember us being like, yeah, it feels like this is the wheel spinning before next year being the big one. So it's kind of a bummer for it to be the same again.
I mean, a lot of it is the same games again, literally.
Like
there hasn't really been much else for a couple of years now. Kind of in so it's still cool and I still want to play them, and it's not to be like the idea of playing a sequel to The Last of Us or a new Halo game isn't cool, but it isn't like that big question mark like Cyberpunk was the game maybe that you're like, wow, what the fuck's that gonna look like, what's it gonna actually be, how's it gonna work, and they'll be showing that again this year, which is cool.
But that, like, we've seen an hour of that.
Yeah.
Like, literally, I just sat there and watched them play it for an hour, and it was cool.
And so, apparently, it's changed a bit, and there'll be another one of them that they'll demo to people, and then the full thing will come out later on, same as last time.
Right.
So, that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
In the same vein of stuff that's a bit known, there was a Modern Warfare, Call of Duty Modern Warfare trailer.
Yep.
Came out. Last week.
It's a good trailer. I liked it. We just watched it.
Yeah, it looks really nice. They're using like a new engine for it that they built from the ground up, and apparently the night vision that they had there is like this whole separate form of light that they're rendering that makes it look real or whatever.
Yeah.
And they want to, like, the stuff they've been talking about after it's come out is they want to really push the damn war is fucked up. Is it more fucking shit? Look at this shit that we gotta pull. And it's like, so they've shown demo to some press, and it's stuff of there's insurgents maybe behind the door, and you got to get them, and it's people arguing. But when you burst it down, who do you know? How do you know who's who?
Oh,
what's happening? Do you shoot the lady who's making a run for something? What's she making a run for? And you know,
I mean, I don't that's know kind if of that, or that's tasteless. That feels yeah. like
sounds pretty fucked up.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Especially yeah. when
stressful.
At yeah. the same time, they're going like, and the guns sound fucking crazy now.
Right.
You know, that's right. been the point yeah. that other people have made.
In the multiplayer, unlock these 7 skins.
Totally. Yeah. If Snoop Dogg has a voiceover in a thing where it's like, children die in war, then it's going to be really weird.
And that was an awful Snoop Dogg impression.
But like it that they've done that before, and I've thought it was gross, and they're saying this one we're doing it even more
because yeah. it's just not in the world we live in now and how realistic that looks. It's like, do we want to be making realistic depictions of you choosing to kill a civilian? Is that something we want to do?
I mean, there's nothing to say that couldn't be like interesting and done well.
Yeah,
it's just whether Call of Duty is like that has the place in our culture to do that,
and the sort of person that makes up, I imagine, the bulk of the audience of Call of Duty, and how they're going to be receiving it is also kind of a dicey prospect.
I think it's either you're thinking is like dickheads,
yeah,
or it's all young people,
yeah.
Honestly,
yeah.
like it's either dickheads or young people who I don't know.
Because I hear that and go, that sounds like something I would not enjoy.
Yes.
We don't need, and I guess the message being like, war is bad, it's like, well, we both think that, and also we don't want to play it. So we're not playing it, we're not being exposed to the message. But, yeah, well, the kind of psycho that's super into it is probably just going to fucking mow down the innocent family anyway and not care.
A big part of the problem with Call of Duty's way it does it specifically as well is it goes like, isn't war fucked, but at least the good guys won. And I said, well, you missed the whole point of what war is fucked because of. If it's like, oh, fuck, we blew up this church, but I guess it's worth it because we did that. You know, like that's kind of the message at the end of all of them is that, well, a lot of innocent people died. Isn't that fucking crazy? But hoorah.
Yeah,
so, I don't know. But it will probably be fun again. As pretty much every Call of Duty game is at its base core level. In terms of trailers, there was another big ass fucking trailer from Nintendo.
Oh yeah,
today.
Game Freak
and Nintendo. Now we're
here. We go.
We're all personally pretty. I think I call myself a game freak.
Oh, really?
I think I'm a bit of a freak about games.
Yeah.
I like games to gag me.
Yeah, when people accuse me of being a gamer, I say, I'm a game freak.
Yeah.
When it asks me to put in my name for my character, I always put daddy.
Yes.
I like that when people accuse you of being a gamer, your first response is, actually. Okay. They're like, he is. I don't care what he says next. Yes. He is.
Ding, ding.
They put out a like 15-minute long Nintendo Direct about Pokemon Sword and Shield, which are the Switch versions that are coming out later this year.
November.
We've all seen it. Yeah, November 15th, I think.
Yeah. This was following up from the very brief trailer a few months ago. When was that? Start of the year?
Maybe.
Yeah.
That sounds about right.
There was literally just like a minute and a half. No narration, no real detail about the game. Just an actual trailer. And this is like a bit of a, I wouldn't say deep dive, but a bit more.
Like 3 or 4 minutes of actual game in there, and then a lot of people, I guess there's a bit more of that, but it's a lot of people talking to camera going like, with Floofy, we wanted to make the thing look really fluffy, which is why we called it Floofy.
Right. That British dude who's like the art director on it, who's in it so having to speak in very slow, stilted English because it's going to be translated and subtitled and whatever.
Yeah.
Looking like he had a gun held to his head.
Well, I think he must have been reading.
Yep.
So that's why he's sort of like looking into the middle distance, which is disturbing. And then, yeah, reading very slowly. It is odd. It is an odd one.
But then you realize,
I think
that's
like, just what someone who's not like camera trained often looks like on camera.
But they do have to dub it, like, for whatever region it's
in. Yeah, because if it wasn't being dubbed or translated, he could just talk naturally. Which
I
may
didn't
have
find
been
it to
awkward,
be
but.
That unnatural. It was just, well, like, it was probably like nervous and stuff. I'm not going to assess the performance ability of some dude who was an art designer for a video game.
I kind of more had the view of like, you've just watched these two Japanese guys set it up, and then you see the British guy talking and you go...
And he knocks it down.
Yeah.
You go, oh, I guess this is... This is what the Japanese guys sound like if you speak Japanese and if you're... Because then you do realize when it goes back to them, like, they're doing the same thing.
Right.
Very, you know, big pauses between the sentences, very deliberate, very precise. Anyway, that's our thoughts on the trailer. That's all we have to say.
Yeah, yeah.
For a lot of slow talking for them to say not much at all as well. Like, so...
They explain there'll be big Pokemon.
Yeah.
That's 15 minutes, I thought we'd get a pretty significant dive into this game.
I reckon they're talking around it because they know it's the same fucking thing, and how do you make it sound exciting? Because they showed the big thing, it seemed for them, was twofold. The big Pokemon, which fuck off.
Yep.
That's not an appealing thing. Yeah.
No, it's just like another one of the... Like, I didn't think the Alola Pokemon were that interesting. It's like, and in Hawaii, they're a different color.
Yeah.
I think visually, like, the big Pokemon, like, it looks cool, but it doesn't seem like it, as a mechanic, that it alters. It just makes you a bit more powerful for three rounds.
Yeah.
That's not the game changer that they're kind of thinking it is.
Yeah. Well, and neither seems to be the, and I'm going to put it in quotes, I don't think they did, but exploration sort of open world gameplay stuff that they were kind of talking about, because it looks like it's a different camera angle. It looks like it won't be...
You can control the camera.
Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It's that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's like, when they say it's exploration and whatever, I don't think in mechanical real terms it'll be anything different. It doesn't look like to what all those other Pokemon games have been, of just kind of moving in predefined little areas.
I think that it... does look way more expansive. Like, I was saying to you guys before, like, it looks kind of like Breath of the Wild, but my main issue is that it looks shitty. Like, graphically, it looks bad, and a few of our patrons in our group had said the same thing. It just doesn't look good.
It doesn't, and I reckon it's a trick. I don't think it'll be any more expansive or anything. Every other Pokemon game would look like that if you brought the camera down. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're all laid out flat. It's just...
Yeah,
it's not going to be any different from those
others.
It's
a weird distinction to make, though, to go, you can move the camera in those wild areas.
Yeah.
The implication being that you can't when you're in the towns.
Right.
So I kind of got the impression that, and I haven't played the last couple of generations of games, but to me, the wild areas have kind of always been the bits that just link the towns.
Mm.
So that you're sort of... It's like, yes, you do catch new Pokemon in them, but you're sort of forced to go through them.
Yeah.
And the incentive is to sort of not make this boring. Hey, there's some new Pokemon along the way that you'll encounter and catch and be able to add to your team. The sort of vibe I got from the way they talked about this was that you're encouraged a bit more to like dip in and out of them. Because I, to be honest, have found the wild areas in the past to be kind of boring and a bit of a chore. Mm. And it's sort of... It sort of seems like they're kind of trying to go, these won't just be areas that link the towns. Like, you are encouraged to actually, we're trying to make this a bit more enjoyable to kind of poke around in and not just
Pokemon around in.
Thank you.
Very.
Very not just good. Be like a narrow track that has grass in it that there's nothing kind of that interesting about as an area.
I reckon don't hold out too much hope for that. Because they haven't changed these fucking games in 20 years. And I reckon if they'd have changed it enough that main part of what you're doing sort of in terms of moving around was different, they'd be saying more about it than about, like, look at the size of this fucking Raichu.
Yeah.
You ever seen one that fucking big?
Yeah.
I think that this and the trailer, they're kind of... I think they're assuming, I think, that everyone thinks that they're just... That everyone knew that they were just going to make the same game again.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Rather than them being aware that because it's on the Switch and because, the so far, a lot of the iterations of Zelda and Mario have been these like big sort of reinventions and changing it up a significant amount that people have gone into this going like, oh, and they'll probably do the same thing with Pokemon.
Right.
Like they haven't been aware that that's kind of what people have thought heading into this. So they're like, well, everyone gets it. We'll just sort of say, you know, we'll just show off this kind of stuff.
Right.
Maybe, but I think it's not even that it's what people thought might happen. I think this was way more likely to a lot of people. But it was,
it's just what people wanted.
An opportunity for them to do it. Yeah. Which I don't think they're ever going to take.
I've only played Pokemon Red and Pokemon Moon.
Right.
And the similarity between those two games.
Yeah.
That is what made me temper my expectations.
These games have not changed in more than 20 years.
Yeah.
In any sort of major way.
And like, I loved Pokemon Red.
Yeah.
And Pokemon Moon was good, but it was the same game, really.
And it's just, it's outdated feeling enough now in this weird way where, like, it's just a little boring.
It's more like, I'm just like, you're kind of taking the piss now.
Yeah.
Like, you have the opportunity to make a fantastic game.
Mm.
Yeah. Maybe there's a generation, or maybe it's a group of people. Like, maybe it just means they're not for us, and whatever, we've moved on from them. So it's fine to make the same thing again. Like,
I guess,
whatever.
Yeah.
When I've poked around the internet, the people that are like diehard, the people that are like diehard Pokemon obsessives, I haven't really seen any kind of negative thought from them. The
right.
people that like love those mainline games and know everything about them and have played every one of them to death.
Mm.
I haven't really seen much from that community of people going, oh, this is a bummer that it's the same.
I mean, I guess if you like bananas, you eat a banana every day.
If they bring out a new banana and they're like, but this time the banana is bigger.
Yeah.
Then you're like, holy shit.
Yeah.
Two bananas, but just the one banana?
Yeah. But you don't want them to bring out a banana that's like purple.
Yeah.
You just want a banana because you like eating bananas.
Yeah.
Sure. I've liked a banana or two in my time.
Yeah.
But I don't really want to eat that many bananas.
Yes. Yeah.
And I reckon a purple banana could be something exciting.
Yeah. Yep. Or at least, I'd like a fruit salad.
Yeah. Dude, I'd eat what am I hungry for right now? I am hungry.
Yeah.
What would you eat if you could eat any dish in the world right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Ooh. I would eat a home-cooked lasagna with a nice Greek salad on the side.
If you could eat any dish, I guess you don't have to cook it necessarily.
Hmm.
But because I thought it would be insane if you could eat any dish in the world that you would decide to cook it.
Oh, no, I just meant a nice,
cooked by the best lasagna cook in the world.
Yeah, my
Garfield himself.
Okay.
We don't ever see Garfield preparing the lasagna, though, do we?
No, John must be a great cook if he loves lasagna.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
But Garfield probably doesn't really have much critical thought of how good the lasagna is because he's just opening his mouth and throwing it straight in. He's barely giving it any time on the taste buds.
I don't know.
It could taste like absolute shit.
I don't know how much you think you know about Garfield, but he has a lot of critical thoughts. That cat is a little bit grumpy. I don't know. Pokemon, the new dogs, the new legendary ones are a dog with a sword for a mouth and a shield for a face.
Mm-hmm. Yep,
pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like, just to go back to what we were saying before, like it's a franchise that is so big that it's not really surprising that it is just going to stay in a rut with these, in the same way that all of the Marvel movies feel exactly the same.
Yeah,
like they can't do any wild Christopher Nolan U-turns in the middle of this thing that they've set up. And I guess they just feel the same way that, like, there's a core of people. It's too big of a thing to really fuck around with. I can't think of too many other things, pop culture-wise, that are that big that it's just like, no, this is the formula. This is how it has to be. And it would be great if they did do that. But I get it. Like, there's too much at stake for them to be able to really be able to stretch out and fuck around too much.
I guess it's like a Mario Kart or something where it's like, it's the same game. It is as similar to its first one as Pokemon is, like, if not more similar.
Yeah.
Like, Mario Kart really has not changed except for graphically and a couple extra items.
Yeah, I mean, they add something every one where it's like, this one has no gravity, but really moment to moment, that doesn't change things too much. Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah.
I love the fact that it hasn't changed.
I guess we just don't love Pokemon.
Wow.
Which, hey, sorry to break it this way to you, Pokemon.
Sorry to break it this way to you.
To break it Yeah, to break it this way to you, it's not the best version, but it's one way of doing it that makes sense.
Yeah.
You know what else
it's
makes sense?
It's not Pokemon Red, it's Pokemon Sapphire? I don't know.
This makes a lot of sense to me. The next Watch Dogs is set in London. Mm. It's called Watch Dogs Legion.
Yeah.
Post-Brexit London, getting political.
Mm-hmm.
No guns in London.
Mm.
Apparently you 3D print your guns.
Oh,
really?
In this world, yeah.
I think you did that in the previous Watch Dogs.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Well,
yep,
that
you did.
I might have read the Wikipedia summary of Watch Dogs 2.
Watch Dogs 2, really fucking good. I really enjoyed that game. It was so much better than the first one. And I'm really excited for the next one.
It seems like they have some idea in it where you can swap between different protagonists during the story. We'll find out more about this next week.
The speculation was that you could maybe swap between everyone. That's what Legion.
Right.
Legion
you can play as every NPC or whatever.
Legion. Yes.
I thought it was
like Anonymous.
Like a big scab. Like a Legion.
Oh.
I was reading it like that. But Legion like Anonymous. We never forgive. We never forget.
We have open
Can
scabs.
I has Cataday? If that's all you do in Watch Dogs is make memes in Watch Dogs 3.
Yeah?
Look at this, Papa.
Imagine 3D printing a meme. That's the final. That's when we know society is done.
Do you know what Brian Eno's brother's name is? It's Papa Eno.
Oh,
father,
God.
I should have said father. Papa Eno. Yeah,
you should have.
Paparino. His brother.
Dog
like
as
his,
well.
Yeah, he happens to be a dad.
No, P-U-P-P-E-R. It
his
was named
brother,
by his father,
what, his
Paparino.
Brother who happens to be a dog?
No, it's just his name.
His name is just
His name's Papa.
Paparino.
Papa.
Yeah, a rare Papa. There's not many people named Papa, so he's a rare Papa.
Oh, God.
This is terrible.
Yeah, it's the worst. That's my point.
I'm really looking forward to this new Watch Dogs game.
Yeah, we'll find out more about that. I would guess at the Ubisoft press conference.
Mm-hmm. And I'll be hard.
Rocksteady, who made Batman games, not going to be at E3.
Yeah.
They've confirmed it. It's been... when did that last Batman game come out? Like 2015? Arkham Knight? 2014? 15, I reckon.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to look it up. There's no way. No,
don't.
You've
got your phone in your hand.
Never find out.
I'll do it.
2015, for sure.
Okay.
I think it was more recent.
I think it wasn't. It's been a long fucking time
really?
For Rocksteady.
Arkham Knight?
Yes.
When was that?
2015.
2015?
Oh. Damn. That is a long time.
Yeah. And they've been working
on almost
something.
5 years.
It's 4 years.
Yeah, it's more than three.
Which is almost five, I guess, yeah. So, yeah, the rumors with them is that they've had to, cancel a couple of things because they weren't going their way.
Right.
But crazy. Such a long time for such a big studio to be that quiet for.
And it's, Arkham Knight, it was like, you can't do any more Batman games.
No.
You've kind of taken it to the logical conclusion.
I think they said as much too, that they were done with Batman after that.
Yeah.
We are done with you, Batman. I am sick of this, Batman.
Wow.
Why? You're never here. I'm sorry. This is just a robot chicken sketch.
Was actually funny.
That's most of the stuff that's kind of happening pre-E3 at the moment, I guess. Can you remember anything that's happened in the last week?
No, I cannot.
Wow.
I can't remember anything I've done or consumed or seen whatsoever.
I remember from the past week that I've played one video game.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, here's one thing before we get to that.
And read no news.
Okay, no news, but we'll get to one video game in a minute.
Yeah.
But in the meantime, we could play an old video game from 2012.
Ugh. Oh, yeah, I saw this.
Borderlands 2 is getting new DLC.
Oh, yeah.
It's like a lead in between. Did you?
No.
What did you see?
I saw a thing today about how the SpongeBob video game from 2003 is being remastered and released on every console, funny.
That is another fucking thing focusing on, people will buy this because of memes, I reckon.
It's really strange.
SpongeBob has had a resurgence because of memes.
A meme-surgence, you were going to say.
and that rare Papa is absolutely getting up here.
Mm-hmm.
A missing Italian man is called a rare pupper.
Why?
Because he's no, you don't see him often. He's missing.
See him often.
Yeah, if someone's missing, they're rare.
So if someone's child goes missing.
Well, you wouldn't say it then, but that would be the case. That's why it's always such a tragedy, is because they're rare.
Right. Uncooked.
Another Borderlands Bloody. DLC leading to Borderlands 3. Fine.
I'm not interested.
I think the worst possible way you could get people to be excited for Borderlands 3 is to make them play a bunch of Borderlands 2 and then release what I expect to be a very similar game.
Sure.
Right.
This is strange, but it's free, Borderlands 2 at the moment on the PS4. And I guess this one might be free. Be crazy if it isn't.
Mm.
Let's have a look.
Full price.
Do you reckon?
Make them pay, I reckon. Fuck them.
Yeah, you know what? You're right. But yeah, that's coming.
Are you wearing tracksuit pants?
Yeah, I'm doing exercise after this.
Okay.
Well, they're not tracksuit pants.
They're like, joggers, though.
Joggers.
Yeah.
What, you wanted to... was that a gotcha moment? Were you trying to get me?
No, I thought... I'd assume maybe you'd have a gig or something.
Nah.
And I was like, I loved the idea that this is just the beginning of the descent of you just giving up on your
I reckon you can get much like what I've done to my body, you can remove the D from that because that would be an ascent.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
I absolutely would love to just wear a tracksuit all the time.
It's pretty good.
Oh, it'd be so comfy.
Yeah.
If you spilled food on yourself, everyone would go like, yep. That makes sense. They would be like, right. Oh, that's embarrassing for him.
Sure.
Right.
Oh, you could just, it'd be like a superpower.
Mm.
I don't know. To just be a slob.
I wore a tracksuit for like a year after I finished uni and it was not fun.
Yeah, okay. Why did you do that?
Because I didn't have a job or anything to do.
Oh, well, that's what wasn't fun. If everything else was fine, but you were still in that tracksuit, it'd be great.
Yeah, you'd feel that way about jeans if you'd worn them every day.
I did.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business people think they hate suits and ties and shit. It's just because you're wearing it every day.
Mm.
If you wear them every once in a while, it's a bit of fun.
Yeah. Mm.
That's the key to life. Variety is the... what would be a good word for this? Like
pupper.
Salt?
The pupper of life.
Salt, something like salt.
Variety is the salt of life.
Some kind of like something that improves something that is already okay.
Okay.
But it just makes a bit of
cheese.
An improvement. Cheese of life.
Yeah.
Variety is important.
Mm-hmm.
As a news source. yeah, that's about it, I think, in terms of news.
Mm.
I like, there'll be so much next week that I'm almost hesitant to speculate about.
I think the Xbox 7 is going to be announced.
It could be called that. They're fucking idiots with their names.
Yeah.
One more thing, actually. Sorry. This is what's going to happen. I think I'm getting ramped up for E3 by seeming like I'm done and then saying, one more thing.
Oh, okay.
They're shutting down the online multiplayer front, the Uncharted games and The Last of Us
in
September. I mean, they're pretty old now, so and that's kind of happening with everything, but that sucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't say I'm too fussed by it.
No. I haven't played them in years.
Yeah.
But the fact that I can't makes me furious.
Yeah.
yeah, there you go. That's news.
Well, we were talking Batman before. I have started playing Injustice 2.
Oh, yeah.
Off the long-standing recommendation of the two of you.
Mm-hmm.
And
Injustice 2.
I said I would not lie down until you had played Injustice 2. That's why it's long-standing.
It's great.
Do you understand what I've just said?
Yeah, yeah, I understand.
No one laughed enough.
Yeah, no, we understood.
Hmm.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
I wish I hadn't have understood, but I did, unfortunately. Yeah, it's great. It's everything you guys said. It's super, super responsive, super tight. The cinematic stuff in it is great.
Isn't it?
It's very fun just trying to work out as it's getting towards. It's like, now how are they going to get these two to fight?
Yes.
Seems like not a thing that would really be logical to happen right now.
One of them points out one of the other one's tracksuit pants and then it's on.
Yeah.
It is absolutely on.
Everyone knows you don't do that in a disparaging way to a person.
Yes.
Because the answer is either going to be exercise or the opposite, slob.
Yes.
And so it's just, you just don't ask. Like when someone's wearing a black suit, they're either going to work or a funeral.
Yeah.
You don't ask why they're suit.
Or they're a member of the Men in Black.
Maybe they are. And then if you ask what it's for, they'll tell you, but then they'll wipe your memory and you just get in a loop of it.
Yeah.
So they've been annoyed by you asking.
Mm. Man, the
men
in black.
But then they wipe your memory, so it's ultimately backfiring on them because they're just going to get asked again and again and again.
That's true.
If you were in the Men in Black, you would only ever need to buy one book of riddles to entertain you for life.
Yourself?
Yeah. Because so you could just go over those riddles again and again and again.
God.
Right, and then the ultimate riddle would be when you thought you'd read four riddles and got up and looked in the mirror and you were an old man.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then you'd be like, how did that happen? And there'd be a puddle of water underneath you and then you'd have to figure it out. You pissed yourself because you're incontinent in your own
great
state.
Okay. Great.
Yeah, it's fucking sick, hey?
Yeah, Justice. It's so good.
Yeah.
I was worried at the start. Like, I'm not good with any fighting games and having to memorize different combos for every character and stuff. But you know what, boys? I am button mashing my way through that son of a bitch and having a wonderful time doing it.
Well, you don't have different combos, do you? I think all the combo controls are the same for every character. They just have different
They're
outcomes.
Similar. They're,
not really.
It's like two inputs and then a button usually, but it'll be like left, right punch or down right punch. They do change.
Really? They're not like Street Fighter level of having to do a rotation and then being really different, but they're also not Smash Brothers level of like literally just the same buttons for every character.
Yeah,
right.
They do change up.
Yeah.
They
change up enough that it's like anytime you get to a new character in the story mode, you have to sort of pause and be like...
But then there's usually only like 4 to 6 or something that are unique.
Yeah.
Unique. So,
and they're doing the environment stuff, like smashing people through a billboard or whatever.
Yeah.
The crazy super moves that you do that have like a minute long animation. Yeah, it's great.
Yeah.
It's really, really great stuff.
It's it and the Mortal Kombat games, all very good. Can't stress enough again on this show. Even if you don't like fighting games, as Tommy will attest, Muay Caliente.
Yep.
Spicy.
Yeah.
Which is the variety of life.
Mm-hmm.
What did you play, Ben?
I've been playing a game that I started playing a few weeks ago and I cannot put down. I'm still playing Rage 2. I fucking love this
really?
Game. It's so good. It's like a lot of people have rightly pointed out, the story or the dialogue or whatever is bad.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, I just fire it up and I'm in my little car and I'm driving around, taking people down, getting new moves, shooting people up.
It's just in real life because you're playing it on the Tesla?
Yes. I'm a little cup and I'm taking on the devil. No, I don't know. It's just I've settled into it where the controls are perfectly fluid. It just makes sense. They're second nature now. The aesthetic is really, really fun. And I don't know. Yeah, just like that little loop of like clearing out of town, getting a bunch of shit, upgrading, getting new moves, getting like... Because you have like cybernetics that you'll use, you'll upgrade weapons, you'll upgrade your car. So it's just this very fun sort of, not collectathon, but just like little bits of progress everywhere the whole time. And the basic gameplay loop of shooting and driving around is really fun.
Cool.
I highly recommend it. It's, I think, maybe my favorite game of the year so far.
Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's sick.
I still need to get around to that. I've been filling my time with an old game and a new game. House Flipper I've gone back to.
Oh, nice. Yes.
They brought out a gardening DLC.
Great.
Which, God, that game's fucking good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Just clearing up a garden.
Yep.
I'd never want to do it in real life. Get the fuck out of here with that.
I actually, weirdly, I love cleaning my house in real life. Hate gardening.
I agree because
Abhorrent.
Of spiders. Spiders are literally the only reason I don't like gardening.
Really? That's the reason.
I've never given it an inch because
I don't
of spiders.
Like snails and slugs.
Ah, they're fine. What are they going to do?
No, they're gross.
You?
They're yucky.
No, nothing's gross except spiders.
Okay.
And they're not even gross. They're just dangerous. Like a slug and a snail can't help the way they are, but spiders choose to be vicious.
They do not.
They make a decision to bite.
It's in their nature.
Yeah, which is... even worse that they're not changeable. I don't know. There's something wrong with them. But
there's something wrong with them.
But you don't have to worry about digital spiders in the House Flipper DLC.
Yes.
That game is still really satisfying and calming and meditative. And I still love it. But the main thing I've been playing this week, and
this is the review of the week.
This is the Filthy Casuals. Adam Knox presents... the review of the week, my friend.
Sponsored by Monster Energy Drink.
Yeah. No, I hate Monster Energy Drink.
Sponsored by Red Bull.
If I had to choose to drink an energy drink, which I try to avoid these days, it'd be a V.
Yeah, and that's the wrong one.
Winston Churchill's energy drink.
V sucks.
Nah, V's all right.
It's the worst one. Even Monster's better.
No, Monster is definitely worse than V.
I don't think I've ever had a Monster. I'd pick Red Bull.
Yes. Exactly. Yeah.
That's all marketing.
Yeah, that's fine.
Drink a coffee. I bought a really nice coffee plunger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Plunging my coffees, mm-hmm. getting some coffee grounds.
Yep.
Trying to be healthy.
Yeah.
I'm on a health kick.
Good.
Coffee, mm-hmm. track pants.
Yep.
Yep.
And health for the mind, brain food.
Mm.
I've been playing Outer Wilds.
Yes.
I'm still pointing at my brain.
Yes.
this game is so fucking good.
Well, why can't I play it?
Yeah, it's only on Xbox One and PC and Windows.
Yeah.
At the moment. I don't know if they have plans to bring it to more stuff. But it's like just made in Unity, I believe. Mm-hmm. So it's... There's no reason other than financial that they wouldn't bring it to things. So I don't know what their deals are. But at the moment, yeah, Xbox One and Windows.
Mm-hmm.
So... The game is Majora's Mask cross No Man's Sky cross an adventure game.
Right. Adventure is in a point-and-click point and solving click puzzles. Style,
solve puzzles adventure game.
Right.
Finding out bits of information. It's like, so you're in a solar system.
Mm-hmm.
There's obviously several planets there. You start off, you're like a member of
Are you explaining like existence and leading up to the game?
Yeah.
It's really step by step.
In a solar system.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Yeah. Milky Way. Gotcha.
Well, if anything, I've started too late at that point. But the game is a lot to do with like the nature of the universe and what created it and all this stuff. Anyway, okay. I'm not going to go too deep into specifics because a lot of it is a finding out shit.
Yeah, sure.
But you start off in this little village of like these spacefaring aliens. You've all got four eyes and you wake up looking up at the stars. Something's blown up. You see that straight away. And then everyone in the village is telling you about how it's your first day of launching into space. And like, how are you feeling nervous? Oh, I was nervous. I'm over.
Okay.
And you kind of go around the town, talk to everyone, learn all the bits and pieces you're going to need, like how to move in zero gravity, how to fly the spaceship, all of that sort of stuff. And you find out bits and pieces about this ancient different race that they've been studying.
Mm-hmm.
Very classic sci-fi thing, but there's this statue of one of them that you go and see on your way out. It looks at you. Is one of the early things that happens, and you have like this weird fucking vision. And then after that, when you're out exploring the universe and solving all these puzzles and trying to piece together what's happening and why certain things are going on, you've got sort of it's on a time loop,
mm-hmm.
and you've got about maybe 40 minutes of real world time, mm-hmm. Every loop of it, and then like this thing blows up and sucks up the whole solar system and you start again.
Right.
You wake up in that first place again. You're aware, Groundhog Day rules.
Yeah.
I
know, it's a great movie.
It's so good. Dogs drool. Cats and Groundhog Day rule. Dogs mm-hmm. drool.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's the... and you see... It's really cool that that you see... Like the first time that statue looks at you, flashes of... bits of gameplay from leading up to the statue show up, and every time you go back to it, it goes in reverse from everything you just did in that playthrough.
Oh yeah.
Takes you back through it and shows you all the stuff you just did, makes you wake up, and then your ship's log stays the same, and you're trying to piece together why the thing keeps blowing up.
Right.
What's going on with this ancient race, mm-hmm. and there's like this thing that they were looking for, and you're trying to find that. There's kind of these several different mysteries that you're trying to solve around this universe by traveling and speaking to members of your village who are like on the other planets,
mm-hmm.
which you can find using this like scope thing that you point around and hear them playing their little instruments. They've each got mm-hmm. a little, like one has a banjo, one has a harmonica and so on.
You're being very animated at the moment.
I love this game.
Literally everything is receiving a little act out.
Yeah.
We've got the harmonica, we got the banjo, we got looking around.
Yeah. You'll
the
understand.
Visions, you got some dreams.
You'll understand why I'm so excited about it as we go on. So it's all really cutely written. It's like kind of funny, not in like an overt way, just like everything's quite nice.
Right.
And just a joy to go and look around.
Yeah.
All the little bits of story that you read from this like translator you have from the old aliens are so well written, I think, and like really intriguing in this like mystery way of like something gets brought up and you don't know what it is, and but it gives you an idea of where to go.
Right, right, right.
The traveling around itself is like pretty basic. It's like kind of rocket jumping and zero gravity movement stuff. It can feel a little weird at first, but as you get used to it, it translates into like platforming puzzles, basically.
Okay.
Which are actually quite fun. And so every loop of this solar system, time is moving and shit happens during that 40 minutes or however long it is, maybe an hour.
Yeah.
And you have to maybe be at a certain place at a certain time, but you don't know why.
Yes,
or
okay.
You don't know that yet. You have to slowly piece together all this shit.
Right.
It does it in a really cool way where you can look at the map of the solar system, or you can look at like a hints map or a rumor map. So stuff that you've read will translate to a little box showing up and being like, this said something about over here.
Mm.
And that all maps together like a detective tying red string to stuff.
Right.
And then you can see where it corresponds to on the map to your knowledge. You do have to think it through a bit and kind of figure some stuff out. The sense of exploration is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't lead you too much. It relies on you to be nosy and to go and look around and piece this stuff together in a way that is so much what I wanted from something like No Man's Sky. It's all pre-built. It's all detailed and it's very small relatively. Like it's, you know, there's six planets or something
right
in this solar system. So it's all, you know, pre-made and tailor-made to this. But it still feels pretty huge to explore because there's so much stuff going on
right
in each of these places. And this really good story evolving with like so the things you're reading are translated bits of writing from the old aliens.
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting an idea of like this kind of internal politics of what was happening to them and individual little characters having their own sort of side stories.
Right.
It's really well put together. And it really makes you want to go out and see every little nook and cranny of this big solar system that you can travel between, with these weird like space mysteries happening as well.
Right.
When like fucking weird space shit happens and you get teleported somewhere or something like that, or like neutron, whatever, is that shit's cool as hell.
Right.
And
dudes, it's cool.
Read what I have tattooed on my back about this game. it's really creative and like a fun, unique idea of tying all these different things together of like exploring an open world, having that time loop thing, having all this mystery, having these cute little characters to go and try and talk to and find, and putting it all together in this like well-written and really engaging mystery story. It's fucking great.
Right.
I'm going to say, really, you can't do this in real life, but a great double feature would be Outer Wilds and Return of the Obra Dinn. It also involves time looping, piecing together a mystery and ships.
Yeah. It does sound a lot like Obra Dinn did. I don't know. I think I played a tiny bit of that or something. I can't even remember now.
That was very sort of foreboding and mysterious and dark and not exploration based, but a lot of similarities, it sounds like.
Totally. I think that combined with like universe exploration sim in the style of No Man's Sky with like platforming elements and like, so I'll give you one example of one of the like, you want to find this stuff out on your own.
Yeah.
This is like the first planet you're sort of guided towards.
It sounds like we're never going to be able to play it. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this won't like spoil anything. So the first planet that you're sort of guided towards, they each have like kind of a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
And this one, it's called Brittle something, and Brittle Star Galactica.
Okay.
No, it isn't. It's called Brittle something. Mm-hmm. And so it's this big
planet. It'd be great
if
you've been raving about this game and then we find out that's literally the name of one of the planets. Yeah.
It's terrible. It's circled by this moon that is like a volcanic moon.
Yeah.
And that moon is fucking exploding.
Right.
And so in the time that you have in this time loop, rocks are coming off of that moon, big volcanic rocks, and destroying this planet. So bits and pieces of it are getting knocked to shit. And then getting knocked inside the planet, which is hollow, into this black hole that's at the center of it.
Right.
Which warps them into a different place completely in the galaxy. And if you go through there, it's pretty scary. Because that's the thing. When you die in this game, you obviously, you wake up in the time loop. and you die in some brutal space ways,
right,
where you like run out of oxygen in the middle of nowhere. It's not like a survival game, but you have a bit of oxygen and you have fuel and stuff just to kind of keep you near your ship more than anything.
Right.
So, yeah, as that goes through, big chunks of this planet get knocked off. So if you were looking to go somewhere, maybe it's not there by the time you get there. So you've got to find another way to approach it.
Right.
And then it has like this whole cool story of like where the aliens landed there. They built a place here. It wasn't safe. They moved here, and has kind of this history in the way that it's built, that it's all, you know, relatively simply presented. Mm. Like it's fine looking and it runs well. I'm playing it on the Xbox. And it's not like crazy detailed or anything. It's all, you know, it's an indie-ish kind of game.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so well thought out and everything makes so much sense, which is so important for a puzzly kind of use logic to figure out where to go next type of game.
Mm-hmm.
So I love everything about it.
Yeah,
I'm
nice.
Really enjoying it. I haven't finished it yet, so maybe it gets fucking terrible at some point. But at the point where I am, like maybe 6 or 7 hours in, something mm-hmm. like that, I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, wow.
Right. Outer cool. Wilds.
Outer Wilds. Not The Outer Worlds,
mm.
which is coming up.
Yeah, very similar
Outer
name.
Wild. God, you'd be pissed off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, real cool. good.
Sounds great. I hope yeah. it comes out on some stuff that we can actually play it on.
Yeah, and it was only like $30 too.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
So
it's almost worth buying an Xbox for if the game's that cheap.
I'd get a Windows PC probably at this point.
It's probably a better investment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a great game if you're able to play it, if you've got access to either of those things. And if not, I could imagine it coming to other stuff.
Like, yeah.
But we'll see.
Cool.
Well, guys, that's us done for another week.
Yes.
Thanks very much for listening. We'll be back next week with all our hot
yep.
E3 takes.
Live shows. Still.
Yep, live shows
yep.
July 13.
Melbourne
Cooper's
one's
in Melbourne.
On sale.
Yep.
Yes.
And the Sydney one isn't yet, but we'll let you know as soon as possible. Also, that second part of the Flash history of Flash
yeah.
Games Bandcamp yep. went up.
And yes. We got a Doom commentary of the film Doom coming up on Bandcamp next week.
Yeah.
Probably over the weekend even. I'm
yep.
not sure.
Yep.
But we've done it and it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. It was a really funny one. Because Pixel's commentary didn't, I think, get as many sales as our other
it
band
set
camps.
The world on fire.
Definitely the lowest one.
But that also is really good. And I don't know if you, yeah, if you dip in on Doom, go back and get Pixels as well because they're really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're on filthycasualspod.bandcamp.com.
Right.
Because it's been a while since we've put one of them out.
Yeah.
Yes.
But yeah, you just pay $1 or more if you want
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you get them. And they're all very good, I think.
And yeah. sign up to the Patreon if you like the show and want to support it. You can get an extra episode of this every week.
Yeah.
Filthycasuals.com.au is the best place to go for links to the live show tickets and the socials and everything. Thanks very much for listening. We'll see you next time. And as we say here at the end of every episode of Filthy Casuals.
Do you guys want to hear about how I how I bought a pair of shoes that I didn't like and then I got a second pair of shoes? It's
no.
a long story, but
no,
it's bad.
No, I don't.
God.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.